ॐ ध्यायामोदबलावगुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम् नित्यं निरन्तरानन्दं चिद्घनं ब्रह्मनिर्भयं श्रुत्या तर्कानुभूतिभ्याम् अहमस्म्यद्वयं सदा
विज्ञानविरतिः सुप्तिः
तज्जन्मस्वप्नजागरौ
तत्साक्षिण कथं मे स्युर्
नित्यज्ञानस्य ते त्रयः
विज्ञानविरतिः सुप्तिः
तज्जन्मस्वप्नजागरौ तत्साक्षिण कथं मे स्युर्
नित्यज्ञानस्य ते त्रयः
विज्ञानविरतिः सुप्तिः
तज्जन्मस्वप्नजागरौ
तत्साक्षिण कथं मे स्युर्
नित्यज्ञानस्य ते त्रयः
Yeah, so Lakshmidhara comes to the end of this topic of Avastatrayam or Avastatrayam Sakshi analysis. This is a very important analysis. It would be good to go over it again and again, trying to listen, trying to understand, trying to analyze, trying to reflect, because this is something which is very vital to a sadhaka's life or his intellectual progress as well. So the intellect progresses, intellect, the very nature of intellect is it needs the fuel of analysis or analytical ability is what is there in the intellect. The mind always tries to think options, whereas the intellect tries to ascertain or try to see if something is feasible, something is possible. So the difference is kind of so huge. Of the difference is literally the difference is very small, but still the difference in nature of mind and intellect makes both of them almost at two different ends of a room or a stick. So one leads to sorrow, the other leads to happiness. So intellect is something which is very important, it is very essential for a sadhaka. Because as Amma says, heart is also required, emotion is also required. So that emotional state comes not by the mind but by the heart, like which opened through intellectual analysis, through intellectual convincing. So if we think about it, bhakti, or what we call as bhakti, or bhakti doesn't require jnanam. Bhakti definitely requires the intellect. So bhakti requires the intellect, definitely. There's no doubt in that regard, because bhakti is devotion to Ishvara. So if it is devotion to worldly objects, it's easy to achieve, easy to get, because we see those worldly objects. So seeing or perception, that we perceive, it is easy to get emotional about it. But we cannot get emotional about people who have died in tsunami. We cannot get emotional over people like who are dying today, like in the various wars that's happening in the East. We cannot get emotional about like people dying as a result of swine flu. Many schools have been closed in New York because of swine flu, because people are getting affected, people are dying, though it's not as huge as SARS or any other disease, but that's happening. So we can't get emotional just by listening to something. Listening is one way of perception, but listening cannot give us that much emotional strength. So perception is very important, very essential in order for a person to get emotional about something. So that's why Amrit Swarup Ananda gives that example where a person sees a girl like daily. And so we see somebody daily, so it's seeing itself is kind of perception. It's one of the perception, and that perception leads to emotional strength. We become emotionally attached, emotional growth happens. In a way, it is good because the heart gets bloomed out of such experiences. But the problem is, the heart doesn't get really bloomed. The reason for the blooming is not God or an eternal being, but it is a non-eternal changing entity. Therefore, it will lead to sorrow. Or it will be succeeded by sorrow, which means heart will be again lost, and then faith will be shattered because the heart was not fully bloomed. So all those will happen. And so emotional or heart growth of heart or emotional strength comes from perception. With respect to Ishvara, we cannot perceive Ishvara. Ishvara is somebody who is beyond perception. Ishvara cannot be perceived like objects of the world. Perception of Ishvara like perceiving objects is not possible. As Vidyaranya says, Swayam Prakasham or Swayam Jyotir Bhavatyesha, or many places he says Swayam Prakasham. So Swayam Prakasha, the Atma, which is like Swayam or illuminating itself, that can be known, but it cannot be known in the same way as we know worldly objects. So that means perception is required in a different way, and the different way of perception requires knowledge, because without knowledge, perception itself is knowledge. And like, we need special knowledge in order to perceive Ishvara, in order to perceive the Drik or the seer of all experiences. Or in other words, like, if we want to perceive Ishvara, we have to negate names and forms of the world and assert or again and again repeat or understand that the objects of the world are Ishvara only. But that itself is knowledge, that itself requires intellect. So that means bhakti, in order for bhakti to become very strong, bhakti to become pure or complete, as Krishna says, Esham Yani Nitya Yukta Eka Bhakti Vishishyati. So if bhakti has to grow to a deep extent, then tatrabhina mahatmi jnana vismrati apavadaha. So there, jnanam is essential. Jnanam is based on shravanam mananam and nididhyasanam. Shravanam is just listening, so which requires the sense organs, whereas mananam requires the intellect. Unless mananam becomes very strong, very clear, nididhyasanam will not happen. And of course, there is also the mind or the mental state is required in order to not pose obstacles for the intellect, which means purity of mind and concentration of the mind has to happen. So that sadhanas have to be there, and then mananam has to be focused on. Shravanam and mananam, nididhyasanam, like we are, it's not easy to directly do nididhyasanam without doing shravanam and mananam. Therefore, shravanam and mananam has to happen, which means intellect has to grow. Intellect is the basis. So that's where we see, if we look at the pancha koshas, the koshas in many places, like we find that jiva is considered as a reflection in intellect. So why not reflection in the mind? So some people say even mind or antakkaranam, reflection in antakkaranam, but nobody says reflection in the mind. So that's where, like, the pancha koshas, if we go deeper into the pancha koshas, guha hitam brahma yattat pancha kosha vivekataha bodhum shatyam tarat kosha panchakam pravivichyate. About the pancha koshas, like, the Brahman is inside the pancha koshas, as if inside these koshas, even as a sword is inside the sheath. Similarly, Brahman is surrounded by these sheaths. These sheaths are not real, so we have to say Brahman is as if surrounded by this, as if surrounded or protected by these sheaths. We have to go through or pass through one by one. So when we pass one by one, the last one is Anandam, Anandamaya Kosham, which means experiences. Blissful, it's not blissful, but bliss, in a way blissful, not bliss of the Atman, but glimpses So people get distracted, and that's why Gaudapada speaks about four fall downs to samadhi. So there, that is one step, like where a person gets attracted to glimpses of the bliss, but after that we find the intellect. So the intellect is deeper than the indriya, the prana, the body and the mind as well. So buddhi, intellect, is very close to the atman. If we are able to control our intellect and direct the intellect, or through directing the intellect, direct everything that we possess with respect to mind, possess in the sense as if possessing mind, indriyas, body, etc. in the right direction, then we'll be able to get the Atman, will be able to realize the Atman. So that means intellectual strength, or the strength of the intellect, the growth of the intellect, intellectual conviction is very essential. And this analysis, the analysis of the three states of Jagrat, Swapna and Sushupti, will help us in that, in gaining that intellectual strength. So this is a very intellectual analysis. It requires a lot of mananam for this. But if we do such a mananam, then this is a kind of a final analysis of the Atman. If we can understand the three avastas and the relation of the Atman with respect to the three avastas, then there will remain nothing else to really analyze, really reflect, because everything, all reflection, all mananam is encapsulated in this analysis. So anyway, Lakshmidhara concludes this portion saying that what is the difference between Sushupti and Swapna and Jagrat. So in Swapna and Jagrat, with respect to knowledge, like we can differentiate or separate knowledge as two. So one is Samanya Jnana and the second is Vishesha Jnana. Yaha Sarvajnaha Sarvavid. So one is Sarvajna. Sarvajna means like the Samanya Jnanam. Sarvavid means Vishesha Jnanam. That's why both are used in two places in Indra Upanishad. So there is Samanya Jnanam and then there is Vishesha Jnanam. So Samanya Jnana means we just know something. We just know something, that's it. So we have Jnanam. We have Jnanam, but we don't have Vidya. Vidya means we don't have Vijnanam. We don't have special Jnanam. So what would be, what is like kind of special? So Jnanam, Samanya Jnanam, are like just knowledge, means like we just know something is there, that's it. We know something is, I can see an object there, but we don't know as to what that object is. Or we say, I see that car, but I don't know whose that, whom the car is, whose. I don't know the license plate, which state it comes from. I don't know the make of the car. I don't know the model. I don't know any of those. I just know that there is a car. I can't even see the color. So that is Samanya Jnana. Vishesha Jnana is when we know that, okay, this is so and so car, make and model, the color, all those, like everything we know, that is Vishesha Jnana. So in Jagrat and Swapna, we find that in Jagrat and Swapna, we have both of these. So in some cases, we get Samanya Jnana, but if we use our, again, if we use our indriyas in the proper way, we can get Vishesha Jnanam about everything. So this also means that Vishesha Jnanam is available in waking and dream state, but that is not used to its full benefit. So the full benefit, or the fullest that a person can use with Vishesha Jnanam or with Jnanam, is by understanding objects of the world very clearly. If we clearly understand the objects of the world, we will understand that the world is Ishvara, world is one Sakshi, world is one Brahman, because that is what the Shastras say, that is what intellect also asserts, like when we use it in the right way. So Vishesha Jnanam to the fullest is when we try to understand that this entire world is one nature. Okay, that is not important here. Here Lakshmidhara speaks about Vishesha Jnanam and Samanya Jnanam with respect to objects, not with respect to the Atman. So that it can be extended to Atman as well, but it is not extended. So, Samanya Jnanam and Vishesha Jnanam, both are there in Jagrat and Swapna. We experience object, we experience the characteristics of object, we experience what that object would do to us. We experience all those, like we experience everything with respect to those objects. We experience like what that object is, how that can be used, what all that will give us. So all those knowledge can be gained. And today, with technological advancement, we can gain it at the touch of a key. So press go to google.com, enter, you can get everything, anything. Oh, Cobra Anaconda. Oh, saw it yesterday. Let me try to analyze. So everything like we have. Touch of a finger, a fingertip, at our fingertips we have it. So, objects like we have Samanya Jnanam and Vishesha Jnanam, the same applies to dream as well. So when we are dreaming, like we see, it doesn't happen that we dream and then there is a snake coming and then like we say, oh, what is this object? Let me try to find it. So let me touch it and see. We don't do that because we have Vishesha Jnanam there as well. So, but that is not there in deep sleep. So if we think about deep sleep, what do we have in deep sleep? In deep sleep, there is only experience of the ahankara. Okay, again, like experience by the Atman, experience by ahankaram. There are two experiences that Jnani goes through. So one is ahankaram experiencing objects, and one is the ahankaram itself being experienced or watched by the Atman. The difference in these two experiences is that ahankaram experiences objects and gets identified or associated. So the ahankaram cannot pull out. So ahankaram gets into ahankaram goes into sharvana bhava, and then like it is, the ahankaram's goal is to judge the cleanliness of the place. So maybe an inspector, environmental inspection. So it tries to find out, but gets so identified that like it sits down, pet karke kana, and then it comes out, and then like it says very very good, and then like it question, oh, that is because like they say that you have to have vijnana, you have to have experience. So I thought like cleanliness means I have to experience the food only, can say. So anyway, so that is what will happen. That happens with respect to ahankaram. The ahankaram becomes a vital part of the experience, becomes immersed in the experience, therefore gets affected as well. Whereas the experience of the Atman is that it is just a sakshi. It's never identified, it's never associated with objects. So never means never. It's always, there is no time like when the Atman gets identified with objects. Oh, like what about then I experience myself as the ahankaram. That means the Atman is identified with the ahankaram, right? Definitely no, the Atman is never identified with the ahankaram. A sadhaka identifies himself with the ahankaram, and therefore thereby like, and he goes to a discourse, and then Amal Swarupananda says, you are the sakshi, you are the Atman, and then come home and say, I am the Atman, but still I get identified with the ahankaram. That's not the case. I am the ahankaram, and now I am trying to identify myself with the Atman. So that is what really happens, but we consider it as the opposite. So the Atman is never identified, and the Atman is never associated. And the simple way to bring out the Atman is like when the ahankaram has risen up, when the ahankaram shows its hood. So at that time it is easy to differentiate it from the Atman, because the nature of ahankaram and Atman both are totally different, we can say contrary in nature. So once Ramana Maharshi's concept is that aham ayam kuto bhavati chinmata ai padatyaham nija vicharanam. Nija vicharam, do vicharam. What is vicharam? Where does this I ahankaram come from? So this ahankaram, I thought ahankaram, as we said, ahankaram can be split into two, I thought and mind thought. So I thought leads to mind thought. So I thought, when it comes up, that means it has come from the Atman, It is very close to the abdomen, so it is easy to cut it. So once Ramana Maharshi was observed that something was happening in the kitchen. So somebody was cooking, and then like one person was cooking very well, another person was also cooking very well. So both thought they are good. They did this, like they are cooking very well. So they started like a small argument, and then like the argument went on and became huge. So a lot of sound. So Ramana Maharshi came over to see, and he was watching. Like as a witness, he was just watching. Don't ask me whether it is watching like a thief or watching like a witness, but you can ask him. Anyway, with his body, he cannot be a thief, so he has to be a witness. So he was standing there. So the attack, like there were one person was accusing another person, you did this, you did this, you did this, and then like finally the cook, the main cook said, you don't know who I am. You really don't know who I am. Do you know who I am? And then Ramana Maharshi said, yeah, now this is the right time. This is the time to find the Atman. Because when the Ahankaram is up, he can find that Ahankaram becomes revengeful. Ahankaram becomes so much associated, so much attached to objects. Ahankaram leads to total destruction. Even like we may think, oh, I love a person, therefore I am trying to help the person. Such a help is Ragam. Ragam will lead to Dvesham, which means Kama Krodham, it will lead to Pranashyati or Nasham, Pranasham. Nasham, it will totally lead to destruction, that is what we see. So there are people in the world who cling on to people they love, people they like, and they try to control their life, and whatever happens is the object gets destroyed. So that this, we can identify, or we can imagine that in our mind, like we get an object, we get a new car, and then we get attached with it. So we keep, like we sit in the car, we sleep in the car, we do everything. So if we do such like that, if we try to do something like that, then what will happen is something will happen to the car definitely. So it's like a child holding on to a doll, always holding on to it. Like if it always holds on to it, it's not just attached, it goes one step further and becomes addictive, or I'm not getting the right word. So much passionate about the object, about the doll, then somehow it will put the doll on the floor and break it. So that has happened. Like we can find in history that in many cases such things have happened, like Taj Mahal, and or whatever, it was built by Shah Jahan and Nur Jahan, for Nur Jahan. So whatever happened, it's true love. Like we can say it is true love, it led to one person dying. So that is what happens in the world, like where we get attached to an object, that means Ragam or Kamam, it will definitely lead to Krodham, it will definitely lead to Nasham. So if Ahankaram is there, it will lead to Nasham. And whenever we experience this Ahankaram and Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsaryam and all, then we will realize, like we will later realize that, oh, I shouldn't have scolded the person. I shouldn't have said those harsh words. It's very easy. So if we can do that analysis when the Ahankaram is up, then the blow is more. So that means like if we can, like if we are shouting and at that time we realize, oh, what have I done? Then we will never repeat it. But like we shout and then like the next day we realize that we did the wrong thing, then we will again definitely shout. So control of shout can, or anger can be done, like when we put an end to anger and its root. Root means like when it is up, when it is coming up. So there are two snakes running. So one is, both are cobras. One doesn't have poison in it, the other has. So how can we really find out? So we can find out only when it strikes. When it strikes, or if it strikes, we can find out whether it has the poison taken out or not. So similarly, Ahankaram, when it rises, the nature of Ahankaram is totally different from that of the Atman. The Atman is calm, the Atman leads to bliss, the Atman loves everything, the Atman respects everything, whereas Ahankaram loves few things, respects few things, hates other things, disrespects other things, and it leads to sorrow. And as Amma says, like whenever this Ahankaram rises, it's not just, Amma speaks about anger, It's like a knife which is strong or whatever at both ends. So it will hurt the person who holds it. It will hurt the person whom it is directed at as well. So that can be applied to any of the emotions that are shown by the ahankara. And Krishna goes to the extent of saying that I forgot the shloka, but there is a shloka where Krishna says in the 16th chapter that Narakam, like if we have the door to Narakam has three entries or three ways to enter, three dwaram to the to hell. Hell means dukkham, and that is kamaha, krodha, lobha, tasmad etat trayam tyajet. So that is kamaha, kamam, krodham, and lobham or greed. Of course, these three means like it will lead to other things as well. So moha, mada, matsaryam, and all will come. Like when a person is so much attached to someone, like then he'll say, oh my friend, like he is a great person. Oh my friend, like he sings like Hari Haran. So like all those like will make. So kamam or attachment will lead to that kind of, such a kind of pride. So whenever ahankaram is up, that is the time like when we can differentiate it from the atman and easily put an end to it. So if we don't put an end to ahankaram, then we will end up in sorrow. And such like splitting the ahankaram and the atman is through like identifying the experiences or anubhavam of both. The Atman is ever a sakshi, whereas ahankaram is identified with or like is part of its own experiences. So in deep sleep, ahankaram, there is like no ahankaram, there is only the Atman. No ahankaram means ahankaram is sleeping. So there is no activity of the ahankaram, there is only activity of the Atman. An Atman can have only samanya jnanam. Atman cannot have vishesha jnanam. Why can't Atman have vishesha jnanam? The Atman sees everything as itself. The Atman sees only advaitam. The Atman sees beyond namarupam. So that means there is no vishesha jnanam possible there. There is vishesha jnanam with respect to objects. So vishesha jnanam is possible when we differentiate. Wherever differentiation is not there, there is no vishesha jnanam possible. So differentiate, when we see like one object as different from another, we can differentiate. For a person who knows, like a person who sees two cars as different, such a person can compare and contrast both the cars, whereas that is vishesha jnanam. Whereas a person who sees both the cars as one, just a car, will not differentiate. And with the Atman, it is not with respect to just few things. Of course, we do selective non-differentiation. So we don't differentiate with respect to certain things in life. We don't differentiate with respect to the bus that we catch, because there we cannot make any differentiation. So, oh, I like only the 8:10 bus, 8:15 bus, like I don't. If it's an odd number, and the number plate is wrong, the driver is wrong. Of course, drivers change, so you cannot say any of those. So we can make such distinction. Oh, I won't catch this train, this is not a double decker. For me, like there should be a double decker, so I will feel I'm top of the world. So all those we cannot exactly make, like we cannot make at all. So some cases, like we cannot make some cases, some places we don't make. So that means we do selective differentiation or non-differentiation or not differentiating between objects in some cases. If a mother has two children, like then the mother, if it's a true mother, like she'll not differentiate between the both of them. They are not twins, like one is elder, one is younger, but she doesn't differentiate at all. So that such a not differentiating or non-differentiating state is possible. For the Atman, it is natural. The Atman doesn't see anything apart from itself. The Atman just witnesses everything. The Atman knows each and every minute that whatever it experiences is only an illusion, it's only a dream. And so it's like a person watching a movie. It's like a person watching or witnessing his own dream. So if a person witnesses his own dream or somebody else's dream, then he's just a witness, he doesn't get affected. So if a person goes and watches the drama of Ramayana. So in Ramayana, a lot of things happen. Hanuman jumps, Jai Shri Ram, and he jumps. And then like we see many things, like we see Rama killing a lot of people and then Kumbhakarna coming. And then finally Rama kills like Ravana. Rama destroys Ravana. So we see all of those like dancing, and if it is a Kathakali, then like it is then dancing and all. So all those we see, but still we are not affected. But there are people like who get affected. Some people will see Ravana, and the moment they see Ravana, mummy, they'll say, no, I cannot. So some people are there. So that's the difference. The same applies to the world that we perceive as well. So there are people who get affected by watching movies. There are people who get affected by the world. Such people are identified with the ahankaram. Jnanis are identified with the Atman. The Atman is like a person who is never affected by any movie he watches. Even though he may watch Saw 5 or Saw 3, like where body parts are mutilated still, and then like the hand is cut, and then like water, like it's like a spring. Blood is coming out like a spring. And looking at that also, a person will not get affected. Oh. Whom are they trying to fool? I know for sure there is nothing. There's no hand. Look at it. I can even see like there is digital graphics. The person who knows will say, oh, that is Photoshop. Oh no, that is not Photoshop. That is like a macromedia flash. I don't know any other terms to introduce here. So there are people who are identified with the Atman, which means differentiation is not at all possible. People who are identified with the Ahankaram will have differentiation. So wherever differentiation is there, Vishesha Jnanam is there. Wherever differentiation is not there, there is only Samanya Jnanam. And in some cases, so that is where we find that our worldly norms go against spirituality. So in Rama and many Mahatma say science is not against religion, but science is against religion. Science or society is against religion by creating norms, by creating rules which require differentiation. So competitive world, people say. So like if we look at why competitive world, well, that's because the population is more, population is more. Oh, is it so? Okay, I like my mother and father have two children. My mother was like one of seven children of her parents. My father had 11 siblings. So was competition more then or competition more now? And if we think about it, like Yajna Valkya had two wives. One wife itself means like 5 or 12 kids, then the next wife means 24. So it was like the population, it's not about population. It's not about knowledge as well, it's not about money. Money is always the same. Money remains the same like when ages ago and now as well. It's just the value of money that changes. The value of money like deteriorates or it grows up. So that is what happens. So all those like will happen, like you cannot change any of those. But today we find that the major difference than like 50, 60 years back is that people don't have any jobs. Unemployment is growing or rising. That's because like people, everybody is running for the same thing. So that means that why are people running for the same thing? Why is everyone running to Subway? $5 foot long. Then who will not run? Everybody will run. Unfortunately, the opposite brand, like they don't create such a good advertisement, therefore people don't run behind it. Yeah, so anyway, so that is what happens. So that means competitiveness or competition is created by us. So that is created by society, and competition itself means differentiation. The interviewer differentiates to people coming for interview. and the inter, like the applicant also has to differentiate himself from others. The question will be, how are you different from the previous applicant? So that means differentiation is part, like visheshajnanam is part, and such visheshajnanam will lead to dukkham because that is based on vedam. Manasai vedam aptavyam nehananasti kinchana mrityo samrityam gacchati ehanana iva pashyati. A person who sees such duality, such differences, such a person will be led from death to death, which means from sorrow to sorrow. So which means that, so this doesn't mean that all this competitive world of competition will end. There were competition ages ago as well. Duryodhana competed with Pandavas. So that was the only competition we can find in the huge epic of Mahabharata. So today if somebody writes a novel, then there will be one A will be competing with B. We will be competing with C. There will be a total competition. And then the way people write is, okay, five people like are together and they try to find out who is like, I am the greatest person. So that is how it goes today. So there were, but it was like very few. It's not like today if we look at two siblings, like they will try to fight. Oh, I have longer hair. I have like longer like name. I have longer degree. I have more degree. I have Amrit Swarupananda. I'll say, I have two MAs. What do you have? I have like one B.Tech, that's it. Go. It's even not even a postgraduate. And then the next step will be, I have a first class. I have distinction. So all those differentiations are created by us. And that differentiation leads to dukkham in the long run, though we don't really understand it. And we may say it is required in economy. And all those, whatever is happening, competition, all those can happen. All those will happen. We cannot stop it. But what we can do is, like jnanis do, differentiate the Atman from Ahankaram. Let Ahankaram do its competition. Let Ahankaram do its differentiation, whereas I know that I am just a witness. So Ahankaram does all this. Will I get affected? No, Ahankaram. Ahankaram is like my roommate. My roommate is staying with me and he is doing all sort of things. Like, what does it matter for me? It doesn't matter as long as he doesn't burn the house down. So if he does that, that is a problem. But in this case, we are safe because the Atman has immunity. The Atman is immune to all this. The Atman cannot be touched. The Atman is untouchable. Not that untouchable, untouchable. Atman cannot be touched. Atman cannot be tainted. Atman cannot be affected. So that is what like our trying to split Atman from Ahankaram. That is the final step of realization, the final step in the spiritual path. And that is what like this analysis of Avastatrayam, the three Avastas, will help us. So that will definitely help us in splitting the Atman, which is a Sakshi, from the Ahankaram, which is up, which is down, like which is awake, which is sleeping. So in this shloka it says, Vijnana viratihi suptihi. So what is Sushupti? So after listening to the entire Ramayana, like what is the relationship between Rama and Sita? So we have spoken about Jagra, Swapna, Sushupti and all. Like, tell me what is Sushupti. Now I am totally confused. They said, Supta Suptim na Jaganadi, Supte Ahame Drishkinte. Like you said all those are all like, you are like as if releasing out logical gimmicks. I don't want gimmicks. I don't want $5 foot long. I want like, what is Sushupti? Tell me in plain words, what is Sushupti? So Sushupti is defined Vijnana Virati. Vijnana Virati. Virati means not there. Uparati or submerged or subdued, we can say. Virati Vijnanam. So Vijnanam means Visheshajnanam. Visheshajnanam is not there in Sushupti. So Sushupti is the state where Visheshajnanam of objects is not there. So why Visheshajnanam of objects is not there? One, objects are not there. Two, that which does Visheshajnanam is sleeping. So therefore, Visheshajnanam is not there. Samanya Jnanam is still there because the Atman is still there. So, like, though we have to still say that Samanya Jnanam Ahankaram also does Samanya Jnanam, but like if, the Atman we can find from whatever he is saying is Atman does give Samanya Jnanam, Ahankaram gives Vishesha Jnanam. Though it might appear that that who adds up, that gives a value to objects, is really better than that, or he who just gives, like, if you go to a store and then like a person, like you say, I want a coffee, so the person just puts like the decaf and then gives you. Better than that is a person like who adds decaf and then adds some sugar, adds some this, that, extra value additions. So today everybody is speaking about value addition. What can you do extra? What do you do extra? So value addition Ahankaram does, but value additions can be dangerous in some cases. So you go to the doctor and say, oh doctor, like the doctor will say, then he'll say, no, a little bit more wider. Okay, then the doctor will say, you know, like your teeth are in very good condition, not mine. So your teeth are in very good condition, but I can like suggest a few things. Like, something which glitters on both sides will look really pretty. The doctor will say, I can do a value addition of putting a gold teeth. That will really give you value. And then he'll put that, and then the gold will, like after 2 years, now gold is there, but it doesn't glitter. That's the only thing. So the gold is low gold. There's only 14 carat, therefore it lost its value. So value additions is kind of, as Amma says, it's artificial, so it will spoil. It will only lead to sorrow in the long run. So Ahankaram, which gives Vijnanam, is dangerous. It will lead to Dukkham, whereas the Atman, which gives just Samanya Jnanam, will give us Anandam. And why do we not want to know, like, why do we want Vijnanam? We don't want Vijnanam. Like, scientists are trying to find out what are there life in Mars. Okay, well, who cares life is there in Mars? Our life in Earth itself is a chaotic life. Is a life filled with sorrow. Then why would we want to like find more sorrow? But that's the way like people want. But we don't want that. We don't have to do that. Samanya Jnanam, that everything is Ishvara, will give us Anandam. So in Sushupti we don't have Vijnanam. So Vijnana Viratihi Suptihi. Supti is where Vijnanam has taken a vacation or is off temporarily. So Virati means not destruction. So Vijnanam, when Vijnanam gets completely destroyed, that means a person is identified with the Atman. There is only Samanya Jnanam, that is the state of a Jnani. Here Vijnanam is temporarily not there, and therefore the next person in charge is the Atman. So there is nobody else other than the Atman to take charge, therefore there is only Samanya Jnanam. And this Sushupti Tad Janma Swapna Jagarav. Swapna Jagarav, Swapnam and Jagrat are created, are born out of Sushupti. So Sushupti, so we can also say that in Sushupti there are two experiences. So one is the experience of happiness, and two is like wailing, or like as if like non-clarity about what really happened. So I was blissful, but I didn't know anything. So that means we can say there is bliss of the Atman, but still the wailing has started. So it is Sushupti where avidya, when avidya is there, as Vidyanya says, hints, and even Shankara seems to hint that avidya has two parts or two aspects. One is avaranam and second is vikshepam. Avaranam means wailing, vikshepam means projecting. So in many cases, like in any cases, not many, in any case, like where we try to get experience or we experience bliss of the Atman, a glimpse of the Atman, avaranam will be there, vikshepam will not be there. So we listen to a very beautiful music. So we listen to a beautiful music and then we lose the differentiation. We lose vijnanam, And we lose vijnanam, there is no vikshepam, we don't differentiate ourselves with that object, then it becomes only one. But avaranam, meaning is there, we don't experience the Atman. We experience the Atman then irrespective of whether it is music or irrespective of whether it is dapangatu, like you will still feel happiness, you will feel bliss. It's not the case. So the same applies to a person like who goes to the Ganges and finds a beautiful Ganga and then immediately experience bliss. So avaranam, so vikshepam, if vikshepam or dvaita bhavam goes automatically, there will be experience of bliss. That is not permanent. Can be permanent only through jnanam, but temporarily if we want to, I want to experience the bliss of the Atman, then try to negate vikshepam. And why dhyanam, samadhi helps, because samadhi takes us to a state where it is very similar to sushupti. In sushupti there is no knowledge, there is no awareness, whereas in samadhi there is awareness. So anyway, sushupti is the basis. Sushupti is when everything is dormant. So vijnana virati, there is no vijnanam, like we are active at that time, but from there starts subtle and gross. So gross and subtle, like gross cannot exist or cannot come into existence directly. First it has to be subtle, and if it has to be subtle, then it has to be at the causal plane. So the cause is when the Atman is as if veiled. So in Sushupti we do experience the Atman, but still we're not clearly aware of it. We don't experience it. Of course, it is not that simple to explain it. So Ramana Maharshi, when people go and ask him, he'll say, oh, you tell me that you are not aware at that time. We don't tell it at that time, we tell it now. So that means avidya has fully grown. So avidya, when it is in its causal state, it doesn't cause a problem. So though there will be kind of a veil, it doesn't matter, there is still happiness. When that veil becomes projection, that is when everything starts. But avidya is also a problem. This doesn't mean that, okay, I will just kill vikshepam and then experience bliss. That is not possible, because avaranam cannot remain in its own. Avaranam means it is a turbulent state, like it is just a veiling. So if it is veiled, like we wear a mask. If we wear a mask, then obviously you cannot remain with the mask unless you are a character in TV or mask. Okay, mask also has had to remove his mask. So that means mask has to be removed. That means it has to be revealed. Revealed means revealed, not truly revealed. Revealed as something else. So that is why Sushupti is the cause of Jagrat and Swapna, the causal state. From there starts Swapna, and then from Swapna comes Jagrat. Of course, there are two different views about this. Like Paramatma gives one view, Gautama Ananda gives one view. I don't know what is the right view. Like some people say, from Jagrat we get into Sushupti and then Swapna and then Sushupti and then Swapna and then Sushupti and then Jagrat. So like Sushupti is in between Jagrat and Swapna is what some people say. Some people say it is both. It doesn't matter. Like it doesn't really matter. The emphasis of this analysis is that it's not on these avastas, but on a person being different, distinct from these avastas. So Sushupti causes Jagrat and Swapna. Sushupti is a birth. So Sushupti means avidya. Remove avidya. How can we remove avidya? We can remove vikshepam by saying there is no duality. But avaranam still has to be removed. How can we remove avaranam? That everything is one Ishvara and I am that Ishvara. So one means everything is Ishvara. Then I am that Ishvara. Aham Brahmasmi. I am that Ishvara. That has to happen in order to remove avaranam. So that happens automatically. Tat Sakshinah. So I am the Sakshi of those avastas. So when we may find new concepts with respect to these avastas. So when we try to analyze these avastas, we may come across new concepts that, oh, in Sushupti there is Antakaranam. He says that. Madhusudan Saraswati says Antakaranam is there. Advaita Siddhi or some other place, like it may be there. Somebody might say, okay, something else is there. Of course, in Sushupti there is nothing like that. Sushupti Ahankaram is sleeping. The Atman is there. And when we wake up, the Ajnanam like grows. Therefore, we have the experience that I didn't know anything. So there was no awareness. Why there was no awareness? Because the I which says now that I don't know, I didn't know anything. What is this I? Ahankaram. How can this Ahankaram know as to what it experienced in deep sleep when it was sleeping? Cannot experience Supti, Supta Suptim na janati. It is Ahankaram which says now that I didn't know anything. But Atman says I slept well. It's a kind of an Ahankaram also says that. Ahankaram is what really says that I slept well. But where did, how did it sleep well? How did it get bliss? I was blissful. So I was blissful is Atman. I slept well is a mix of Atman and Ahankaram. And I didn't know anything is Ahankaram. So all this analysis, if it is a little over or above your head, like just ignore it. What is required in these three avastas is trying to understand that all the problems are caused by a person not identifying with the Atman but with Ahankaram and other things, like that starts from the Ahankaram. So I am just a Sakshi. So if a person, like what this has to lead to, that is the second half of this shloka, tat sakshinah katam me syuh syur nitya jnanasya te trayah. Te trayah, these three, katam me syuh, how can these be there for me? How can these avastas be there for me? You earlier asked, like, using these avastas for the Atman. How can an Atman have these avastas? An Atman cannot have these avastas. Why? Tat sakshinah, I am just a sakshi. If I am the sakshi of these avastas, how can I have avastas? I cannot have these three avastas. And I cannot have these three avastas. Nitya jnanasya, nitya jnanam. So here we said, vijnanam is there in jagrat and supna. Vijnanam is not there in sushupti. So vijnanam is there. Vijnanam is not there. So such a there and not there avastas for avirbhavam and tirobhavam. Avirbhavam means something being present, something rising, and tirobhavam means something vanishing. So avirbhavam and tirobhavam of vijnanam or jnanam is there. But for me, who am I? Nitya jnanam. I'm nitya jnanam. So one is I am the sakshi of these three avastas, therefore I cannot have these three avastas. And second is I am nitya jnanam, whereas in these avastas there is avirbhavam and tirobhavam of jnanam. So which means, jnanam means vijnanam. Which means, I am not at all identified or associated with these avastas. These avastas are not for me. If these avastas are not for me, then where is samsaram? So samsaram means what? Supti ahamina drishyamte dukkha dosha pravrittayah. Atastasyaiva samsarah name samkartru sakshinah. There is no samsaram for me because samsaram is for jagrat and swapna, and in sushupti samsaram is samsara tirobhavam, samsara avirbhavam in jagrat and swapna. For me, I am ever there. So if I am ever there, then there is no samsaram, there is no dukkham, there is no avastas. So that is what is the final statement of avastatrayam analysis, that I am just a sakshi of these three avastas. I am blissful because I am not identified with these avastas. If avirbhavam and tirobhavam is there, obviously there will be dukkham because something is there, something is not there. I have a lot of money in my bank, I don't have. That will cause dukkham here. That is not there, therefore there will not be any dukkham for me because I am just a sakshi of these three avastas. These avastas will not affect me and I will never be blissful. So this sakshi means just that whatever is there, whatever these avastas are there, they are rising and going down. So that which rises, that which is agama bainu anitya, anityas, anityaha tan stiti kshasva bharata. Agama apayinah, it comes and goes. Avirbhavam, tirobhavam, jagrat, swapna, Sushupti Jagra Swapna, Sushupti Vijnanam, no Vijnanam, Vijnanam, no Vijnanam. That means samsaram, no samsaram. Which means that they come and go. So whatever comes and goes is not real. Whatever comes and goes is not real. So that which is not real, not me, because I am real. I experience all these three avastas. And the strange point is, I experience these three avastas. I don't differentiate between these three avastas as well. Nobody says, okay, I like dream. I like sleeping. Okay, there are people who say I like sleeping, but do they always sleep? Do they sleep for 24 hours? No, they wake up. They wake up. And waking people like will say, I want sleep. I like sleep. Do you really like sleep? Okay, I can give you 6 months of sleep. Then go and ask Kumbhakarna whether he likes or not. Doesn't like? Of course he doesn't like. Who will like? So that means no, but like we internally, though we are identified with Ahankar, and there is a part of this I which is always a witness to these three avastas. It doesn't differentiate between these three avastas. It's like these three avastas in the same way. Just that, like when it says it likes all these three the same way, Ahankaram will come and say, oh, you know what, like you should change. Like it's like the lawyer who stands behind you, and like when you say, I did steal, you should consider this, like think about it one more time. And I thought about it. And then again, do you really think about it? I think you'd have it. Go take a recession. We'll take a recess, 10-minute recess break, and then you can decide. So although like the Ahankaram might taint it, but still I experience these three avastas in the same way, which means I don't differentiate at all. And that non-differentiative state, the state where a sadhaka experiences the three avastas, doesn't differentiate, sees them as one, will experience immense bliss, because dukkham arises out of bheda buddhi. Whereas here a sadhaka identifies himself with the Atman, that experiences the big illusion of Jagrat, Swapna and Sushupti. Therefore, this avastha trayam analysis will lead us to a sakshi bhavam, where we experience everything as just an illusion, as just something that passes by. Like a person standing at a bus stop, and then what he sees, like 10 buses passing by, he just sees those buses. He is not affected by those buses at all. He is not affected at all. In the same way, sadhaka will not get affected, and that is the state of moksha. That is the state where sadhaka identifies himself with the sakshi atman, not the ahankaram, and thereby ever rejoices in bliss. So with this avastha prem analysis has ended. So Lakshmidhara will enter into a different, yet another logical analysis in the next 3-4 shlokas, which you will see in the next day. May Amma bless us so that we may be able to experience this sakshi state. Shanti, shanti, shanti.